Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free, and you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app, too. Thanks. And now back to the show.
Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. Radio Show. This is the podcast. In our first session here, we're going to be talking about kitchen and bath design tips. So if you're thinking about designing a kitchen or bath, this show is for you. I'm going to take on my big pet peeves and the things that, well, should save you money and stuff that might cost you. Now, I'll quit talking. Let's get back to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around it. The House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
Welcome back in the studio here, buddy.
Thank you. With last week, we had so many people we were talking to and everything, I decided to just kind of let it go. That's
let
okay.
It go.
I'll be a producer there.
Exactly. Exactly. So you still had your hand deep in the show, but it's nice.
Behind the scenes.
A little time off the radio. You need a little vacation. You've been working
it. I'm not complaining. I'll tell you that
exactly.
Right now.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, hey, hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And you can do the same thing with Instagram, Twitter. Hit me up on my LinkedIn, those kind of things. And then if you've got any questions, give us a call in the studio. And that number, 971-233-8992, 971-233-8992. And man, we had some wild weather last weekend. It actually took the show off the air in Portland. So
for anyone who listened in Portland last week, sorry if the first hour sounded unintelligible. We had thunderstorms in the area and it kind of screwed with our signal. So I believe hour two went out fairly clear though.
Oh, good. Yeah, we were having some serious problems there and it was a good thunder boomer. I mean, I could hear it from here. It didn't go overhead, but it was far enough in the distance that you could definitely hear it. So it was pretty solid.
Well, I was working at the station that morning. So I was driving in as the thunderstorms were over the station, like where it was. So I walked in and all of the stations were off the air.
Oh,
it was just a big cluster last Saturday.
That was your DIY project last Saturday morning. That is crazy. Well, today I wanted to talk about a couple different things. One, you know, in this first hour, I really wanted to talk about, because we haven't done it for a while, some kitchen and bath design tips. And, you know, it's a big deal right now. People have been home for an extended period of time. And I know there's rooms that people are sick of. And kitchen and baths are some of the hardest and take the most thought for most people. And I thought, you know, let's give some good tips in this first hour. And then we've got kind of a smorgasbord for hour two.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to be talking about a bunch of new technology. And then we're going to talk about things like birds and squirrels, including
springtime.
Our springtime stuff, because, you know, here at my house, we've got lots of woodpeckers. We've got lots of squirrels. We'll talk about those and a lot more. So it's not really a pest control thing, but just kind of how to deal with them and some of the things you can do to help get rid of them. And then what I'm going to do, too, is I'm going to put a call out when we get to that point that I want you guys to comment on the Facebook page when we get that up, and that way after this series you guys can comment on. I'm curious to see what your fixes are for squirrels.
How do you deal with it?
How do you deal with it? You know, everybody's got those tales of how they deal with things, and I always like to see those things, so kind of fun. Well, you know, when you're dealing with kitchen and baths, and it's really important when you're dealing with this stuff, because these are probably one of the most expensive rooms to remodel.
Now, I do, for anyone who's new to the show over the past year, say Chicago or Pennsylvania, because we haven't really touched on this topic much in the last few months. This is your wheelhouse. This is what you do. So this isn't just something you know really well. You've been doing this for decades as far as design.
So a little backstory on me. I've been a certified kitchen designer since 1999. Is when I took my test. So I've been designing, by the time I had to have like 8 years experience there, I'm basically at about 30 years now of kitchen and bath design. I'm a certified kitchen designer through the National Kitchen and Bath Association. I'm one of their educators as well. So I teach classes to those guys. And actually last year I was named in 2019 one of the most top 50 innovators in kitchen and bath. So this is my wheelhouse. So what I wanted to talk about today is one of the biggest ones, especially when you're talking kitchens. One of the biggest mistakes that I see made out there is that I see people wanting to do this as 100% DIY. And I'm not even talking about that, but I'm talking about the design and layout of the kitchen. So many times people are looking online to get a cheap program. They jump over to IKEA's online design tool.
Looking at Pinterest for ideas.
They're trying to draw it out themselves and design it out themselves. And I'll tell you what, this is probably the biggest first mistake that you're going to make on a kitchen project, is trying to do it as a DIY project. Good designers that are kitchen and bath designers have either gone to school to do this, or they've got years of experience to function doing this for a living. And unless you've taken architecture and planning classes, you are going to fail this one pretty badly.
You just don't have the tools in the toolbox.
You don't. And there's, you know, and that's one of the things that was the challenging part of kitchen and bath design when I did a lot of it. You know, and now I do media for a living. But before, when I've been, you know, designing for a living, I mean, I've designed thousands and thousands of kitchens. And there's always 100 things that could easily go wrong in your design. And when you think about it, a lot of people will say, well, I'm just going to redesign exactly what I have. Foolish mistake. Here's why. Most kitchens, you know, we've talked about this before, the lifespan of a kitchen is about 15 years. Mm-hmm. That's what the insurance companies kind of quote unquote call lifespan. But most likely when people come up to the design port, it's probably 30 years old. Think of how the tools that go into the kitchen, and think of the kitchen as the toolbox and the workshop. Think of what's different than 30 years ago. You didn't have a microwave in a kitchen. Think about that.
They didn't allot the space for it.
We didn't have the Williams Sonomas, the Sur-La-Tabs, all those different companies out there that sold all of these hundreds and hundreds of kitchen gear. We have all these accessories. You know, and now there's so many different, you have a pan for this, a pan for that. There are so many more things that go into a kitchen that you need to think about, as well as all the new appliances. I mean, there are speed ovens, steam ovens, I mean, built-in coffee makers that go in, you know. And so, when you know, warming drawers, you know, the right ventilation hood. If you look back 20 or 30 years ago, ventilation hoods were not made correctly.
No. It's apples and oranges compared to what it is today.
And if you've got, here's where you start to get into problems as well, is if you've got a newer house that's 15 or 20 years old, maybe you've already done the exterior, so you've got it nice and tight. You got the house wrap and the new siding and the new windows and the new doors, and you've made this thing super energy efficient. You better be talking to that designer about making sure that you've got that hood and everything vented correctly, because you can cause a bunch of other problems there with makeup air and stuff that where, you know, you can create some big problems. So these are all great reasons why I'm going to tell you this right now. You will save money hiring a kitchen and bath designer to get you through the design phase of this. You will make many more mistakes trying to design that cabinet layout by yourself. It's not going to be as efficient. It's not going to be as pretty. and they're going to show you where the value is in that.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be spending more money doing it yourself, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. And by the time, all it takes is for you to have to order 4 or 5 cabinets again, you're in trouble. Yep. You could have, that designer would have paid for it. So, and that's one of the big things too, is even as a DIY project. Now, if you're working with a contractor, I would definitely have a designer working with them. But the secret there is on this design phase of it, is to make sure your designer plays well with your contractor.
Yep.
Before you put those two together,
they need to be a team.
And I tell you what, in many cases, if they have not worked together, I wouldn't hire them to put them two together for the first shot. Because
not on your house.
Not on my house. I don't want my house to be their first guinea trial guinea pig. Exactly. Because what happens is that when you've got people that have a relationship together where they're working together and helping each other out and do... That was an awesome Model T that just went by the front of the shop here. That was pretty cool. Don't see that often. Well, here's the thing. Each one is protecting their own interest right off the bat. And sometimes you're going to get that, you know, he said, she said battle. So what you want is you want a cohesive team, just like sports, just like anything else out there. You want everybody to be heading in the right direction. If you've got a quarterback messing with the receiver or anything like that, and they're not getting along, everybody's going to be blaming everybody else, and then your project's going to suffer.
Well, and my whole thought process on this, and it's just kind of like the analogy you just used, is an experienced quarterback is a lot better than a rookie quarterback, in my opinion.
Oh.
Plus, they can see the whole picture. Both of them are, the amount of experience that they have allows them to see everything. Like, okay, I understand you want your oven here, and you want this laid out like this. Here's something. How do you like this? This is efficient. This is a better use of your space.
Yep. Absolutely. So you want to get all those things dialed in. You want to make sure that you've got all those things figured out. And I'll be honest, I want you to go out and do some research first. Before you start planning out that kitchen design, and we'll talk about more in the next segment with this, I want you to go out and do your appliance list shopping first. I want you to figure out what you want to put in there to see if you can make it all fit first. Because if you have that appliances figured out, then you know what's going to fit some of those holes. Because maybe you want, you know, a dishwasher, maybe you want a double oven, maybe you want a range instead of that. And those are all things that are going to mess with your design. Get that appliance shopping done first. That way, you kind of can work around it. And it's going to save you some time. And it's going to probably save you 2 or 3 different kitchen cabinet designs. All right, now when we come back, we're going to talk more about why a general contractor might save you some money as well, just as soon as Around the House returns. Every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
So we've been talking about kitchen and bath design, which to me is, you know, one of my loves out there of doing stuff. And this has been a lot of fun. And, you know, last segment we were talking about, you know, basically kind of that, is a designer going to save you money? And I wanted to tackle that one right off the bat. If you've got any questions here after the show airs, you know, give us a call here in the studio. I'll let you give the numbers out since you're so good at it.
Our numbers here. You can call us again 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime you have a question, give us a call. Our number is 971-233-8992.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that we don't put a lot of calls up. A lot of times people have quick stuff, and we have a lot of shy people that don't want to go on the air because I get, you know, a number of during the week, they're like, hey, I don't want to go on the air because I'm shy, but I need help with this.
Well, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you don't necessarily, and we have multiple options. If you don't necessarily want to call, you can also go to the Contact Us page on aroundthehouseonline.com. That sends us an email. It comes straight to us, and we can get back to you that way. Or if you have any just comments about the show.
Yeah, and if you want to check out the page over there, that website's got a bunch of stuff. It's got our Margo Day Organ videos on it. It's got our store.
The Around the House with Eric G store.
Mm-hmm. Got it. There's a lot of stuff over there, so you can catch it all right there. Well, let's dive over here. And if you've noticed a little bit different of the show today, we changed the clock around. Sun Broadcast Group did. So our breaks are in a little bit different spots. Our segments are a little bit longer in spots. So bear with us. There could be a station or two out there on the network, on the radio side of things, that is still trying to make sure. We've done this for decades this way. So I just, you know, when we mix it up a little bit with that, with the size of growth and stuff, you know, bear with these guys. They're doing good. So
we're not a show that typically changes very much. So when they just may not have seen it, or just maybe bear with us. Give us a couple weeks. We'll get it all figured out.
Yeah. Just let's brush that newness off that here a little bit. We're working through that stuff. So we're learning out of here too, as well, with these new segment times. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about general contractors, because here's the thing. A lot of people who have gone through kitchen and bath remodels, and we're going to talk kitchens here to kind of especially, and bathrooms do relate the same way as well, though. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you can be your own general contractor. You can. You can go out and hire all those subcontractors, manage them, go running errands for them.
That sounds like what you want to do for your own home project.
Especially where you're working 40 or 50 hours a week. So you think about this. If you're going to be the general contractor, you are now taking over that time. And it comes down to what's your time worth. Because here's where I get really concerned about this. And it's like when you're dealing with, and this is another one we'll talk about a little bit later, but like buying your own materials. When you're going to be the general contractor, it is your job to create the schedule. You don't want to have those subcontractors going over there. You don't want to have the wrong one come in first and then have to pay to come back and change it. And then, quite frankly, with most contractors out there, if you hire a general contractor to the project, he has his people that he works with literally 7 days a week.
They know how each other work. It's just like we were talking about the partnership between the general contractor and the designer.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is when we get that, when those things come back and forth, it's interesting because you as a homeowner, if you call up, I'm going to make up an electrical company here, electrical company A, who's going to be your electrician. If you are a retail customer, you are going to pay almost always a different rate than that what that contractor is actually getting the same contractor for. Because many times, they're going to give that remodeler a discount because they're doing a lot of business with them. You are paying the full meal deal.
Yep.
You're paying retail. They're paying wholesale. The problem is that by the time you really get them to, you know, do that project for you, they've eaten up that discount, but they're also managing it for you.
Yeah.
So many times I've seen this lots, because it's interesting as a designer and working with contractors. And we've got a new, advertiser coming in here in Portland, REF Construction, who I've worked a ton with. And I've worked with Ryan for years. I'm not designing for him anymore, but I did a lot of projects. And we would see, for instance, with them here in Portland, we would see homeowners go out, get a bunch of prices. They'd go out and get everything figured out and go, wow, that's expensive. Well, maybe their time schedule changed around, those kind of things. And he would come in and they'd go, wow, that was a little cheaper than what I was going to do it for.
Oh, wow.
Well, because those discounts compounded out.
Yeah.
And he's also managing the time as well.
And so you'd pay just a little bit more and have somebody else basically shoulder the load for you.
Yeah, especially a great example. So if you went out and buy all your own light fixtures for a project, or maybe it's your under cabinet lighting. Mm-hmm. Maybe you bought all that under cabinet lighting and the electrician's in there putting it in. That electrician's calling you up going, hey man, you didn't get this from the electrical company. So I need you to run to the store while I'm here to go get A, B, C, and D, because you didn't get it.
In order to do the job correctly.
Yeah, because he or she's hanging out.
Yep.
Waiting to get this done. So now you're the runner. Maybe you're heading into a meeting. Maybe you're on a conference call. You're working. Now they're getting you to do the running. That's where the wheels tend to fall off the cart on this, because you have to be on there. You're just like the contractor that's there, and you're going to get in trouble. And those things happen. And then what happens is that electrician goes, well, I ain't got the parts. You can't get them to me. Call them when you got it. I'm heading back, and you're now paying for an additional trip charge. That could be a few $100 just because you didn't have the parts there. Where the contractor, he's just making it happen.
Well, that, or he's just going to be sitting in the house and you're paying him every hour that he has to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that way, you know, and I say he, it could be he or
yes,
she,
of
but,
course.
But really when it comes down to it, it's that problem with any of that, that you don't have the time, or most people don't during the day, to manage that correctly, efficiently, and be able to get that stuff done, because it's just going to cost you more money in the long run. More Around the House just after the messages.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want to pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Man, this song makes me thirsty.
Every single weekend.
You got it, buddy. Well, this is Farewell Angelina, our friends of the show. Can't wait to see them on tour again.
Absolutely.
That'll be a good time. We've been talking interior design right now. And, you know, if you got any questions, give us a shout out over to aroundthehouseonline.com. That's our website. You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, all those other things. But if you really want to get in and just dive in deep, head us over to there, and you can go to the contact us page. It's right on the top, and send us a message, and I will get back to you very quickly with that. I solve a lot of problems on there, even people that don't want to get on the radio.
Exactly. I mean, that's it. You know, we get a lot of people that are shy, that are like, oh, well, I don't know. And then sometimes we get on the phone with them and they're like, oh, shoot, well, I've got to look that up for you real quick. I'm like, hey, that's kind of a lot easier to take care of over email.
Yeah, no problem. And we've had some good ones out that way, you know, so it's been really kind of, you know, I had one this last week that came in off of that, where a gentleman who's a listener was, thanks for, I'm not going to mention names because you didn't want to go on the air.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. So he was looking at Japanese cedar versus, you know, just our Northwestern red cedar for decking, okay. You know. And he was trying to figure out if that was going to be good or bad. And I'm like, man, first off, that is a durable wood. They use it in Japanese boats. It is the national wood of Japan. So it is something that is noteworthy for a decking surface, because if you're going to build a deck out of that, yeah, it's going to last longer because it's got enough oils in it and stuff that it repels water. So it's kind of a air quote waterproof wood. So yeah, it's going to last longer than your cedar deck will, and why not?
Well, and this is something I kind of want to talk about. And I know we've talked about it off air. It's just like using different woods for different projects and what you should use. Hardwoods versus softwoods, and where they, well, you know, what's better for certain projects.
Okay, Mr. Producer, maybe we'll put that on next week's schedule. That's a good one. We'll dive into that one, because so many people are trying to use particle board here, MDF here. You know, what do I want to use for what? You know, building cabinets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all those things. So. Well, we've been talking about design here, which is always fun. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about, speaking of wood, cabinetry.
Okay.
This is one of those things that you got to be super careful with cabinetry when you're designing a kitchen or bathroom. It's one of the biggest pieces of the pie, because it's a big ticket item when you're talking cabinetry, especially for a kitchen. I mean, if you think about it, your big ticket items are appliances, cabinetry, countertops, labor. That's kind of the big four.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of other things in there, But those are typically the big four numbers. Yeah. Especially if you're doing a medium kitchen. I mean, you can spend, you know, you got electrical, flooring, you got a lot of different things in there, but that's where the big ones are. And cabinetry is where common mistakes are made. And I'll be honest, right now, with all of the tariffs that were hit for not, and these are not presidential tariffs, these are World Trade Organization stuff where the Chinese got nailed. Certain companies were dumping cabinetry into the U.S. at below market rates, where the government was basically subsidizing these cabinetry. And so we were getting cabinetry well below what American producers could produce them for because the government was picking up the tab. Mm-hmm. Well, they filed a big lawsuit in the international courts and won. So now some of these people that maybe if you got 6 months ago, you got a quote for some of these companies, they could have a 260% tariff on that brand of cabinetry in the U.S. now. Guess what? That got really expensive quick.
You're going to want to shop around again.
Shop around again. So be careful with those, with the Chinese cabinet companies out there. And there are some good looking cabinets with that, but some of the problems you deal with that is that they don't use, like, Bloom is one of the biggest, probably that's the workhorse of hardware out there. BLUM. And that's really what a lot of, and there's Gross and a few other, you know, Salicci, there's other companies out there, but these main brand companies have lifetime warranties on many of their pieces and you can readily get them. The problem sometimes with these offshore manufacturers of cabinetry is that they're just knockoffs. So you go to get a new drawer glide in a year or two and it fails, because your 1 year warranty is up on the imported cabinet or the hinge doesn't work anymore. Now you're machining or paying somebody to come out, remachine a door, rebuild a drawer box because those glides don't fit anything.
Then the quality is just not there.
Yeah. So you just can't get replacement parts. So that's one of the things that you got to be careful with. And then of course you've got finishes on cabinetry too. There are some great finishes out there, but to be honest, if you're out looking at custom cabinetry, and this is, okay, soapbox time for Eric G. The word custom. Custom cabinetry. Custom doesn't have anything to do with quality. It just means you've got a team of people building it specifically for you without pre-made specifications.
It's not their normal. That's all it means. It's just not what they normally produce.
It's custom. Yeah, there's no standard, so they're making it custom. Just because they're making it custom doesn't mean that it's not horrible cabinetry that's not going to hold up for you.
Doesn't mean they're using quality parts. It doesn't mean that
materials, craftsmanship, any of that stuff. So don't be wowed by custom cabinetry. It could be horrible. Could look like it was an 8-year-old kid out there with a hammer and a handsaw. You just don't know. So you got to be careful with this. One of the advantages of larger cabinet companies is because if they're in good standing out there and if you've got a decent warranty, you have a company that's solid enough to stand behind it. And many times they've come in because of EPA rules and everything else. They're using finishes that are much more durable than the smaller companies. A small cabinet company doesn't usually have the money or the resources to go out and spend, you know, $500,000 on a big flatline baked on finishing system. They don't. They're using a 1950s lacquer. And lacquer is great if you have a 1950s Ford that you want to paint and keep it look stock. You know, you think about lacquer finishes, and this is why I don't like a lacquer finish on cabinets. Lacquer is what you'd see in the 40s, 50s, 60s on cars. And what was happening every weekend? People were out waxing their cars because the finish would break down. Because you had to make it look good.
Yep.
All these new finishes, you don't see people out waxing cars. No. You don't. It's just, unless you've got that old car that you're trying to keep looking good, you're not doing it. So think about that. When you put that on a cabinet, you've got a finish that gets harder and brittle, that breaks down. It's not the best. There are some new conversion varnish finishes is what you're looking for. Conversion varnish. Or there's now a conversion urethane finish that is a baked on finish that works really well. And that urethane is kind of, you know, it's like urethane. It's a super durable finish. It's like a floor finish, but it's baked on. And so what they do is they use UV lights when it goes through there, and it cures it. Flash cures it. And so you got this really hard finish to start with. So when I'm out looking for cabinets, I don't like using any of the lacquer finishes because it's just old technology. There's five or six different things that are higher quality. And if you're spending good money, don't go with a low quality finish because that's the wear and tear. You know, if you're looking at a white kitchen, you know, oh, I got to have my white or my light gray kitchen. Stay away from those. Go to the better finishes.
Now, and unfortunately, I've never gone through the process of buying cabinets. When you typically buy cabinets, are they already have finishes on them, or do you typically buy them without a finish, then put it on yourself?
Well, it's depending on what you do. If you go to IKEA, they're put together in boxes, and they're already pre-finished.
Okay.
So 95% of the time, you are going to order cabinetry that has a finish already on it.
Okay.
The exception to that is if you have a high-end custom cabinet coming in, and it's going to be like an inset, or it's going to be that where the door is inset with the frame versus sitting on top of it, or you want to do all the trim molding. Sometimes you'll have painters come in after the fact and paint the whole thing. It will look stunning with a white cabinet if you go that way. However, the problem is that you're putting on a finish that's not nearly as durable than anything else out there. Because really, those finishes, they'll do okay. They're going to be softer. They're going to scratch easier. They're not going to hold up as well as what these baked-on finishes are.
I was going to say, the urethane, I mean, it sounds like until technology advances, can't really get better than that right now.
That's kind of the cat's meow at the moment. That's the one that I think is got the best one, you know, and it's one of those things that you just got to be careful with finishes, just like you need to be doing, you know, drawer glides, you know. And the other question is, if you've got, let's say you've got a formaldehyde allergy or formaldehyde sensitivity, you know, anything natural has formaldehyde in it. So what you're looking for out there, if you want something healthy, is a no added urea formaldehyde plywood. So they have a plywood out there where the glues, and it's basically a formaldehyde free product, but it's not going to be 100% formaldehyde free because it's in the wood.
I was going to say the only way it would be 100% formaldehyde free is if it was
plastic or something like that. Exactly. Yeah. So it's one of those things you got to be careful with out there when you're looking for that. But really pay attention to that. Pay attention to the warranty and make sure that these guys have been around for a while as well. You know, I mean, if you're buying big cabinets, you know, out of a box store, even a lot of those brands are big brands and they're going to be around for a while and you're going to have a warranty. And that's the thing you want to be careful with, because if you can't get parts down the road, now you're putting in that big kitchen and you're going to put it in again because when it breaks, you can't fix it. More of Around the House just as soon as we return. Improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Eric G.
I'm producer Dane Vodder.
Yeah, he's the producer man now.
I just drop it in when I feel like
it. I know, and I love it. I love it. We were talking, you know, interior design here and really getting into kitchen and bath projects. And there are so many tips out there I want to throw in there, but there, I mean, we could make an 8-hour show on this from my point of view, but we're going to try to give this in an hour. Here's the thing with this. When you're dealing with contractors, there's two things out there. I am not a fan, and I know there's a lot of people out there go, huh, what? I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of free estimates when you're dealing with kitchen and bath stuff.
Well, I mean, nothing's really free, is it?
It's not. Because here's what happens. I think it's inconsiderate to take someone in a skilled trade and expect them to give you 10 or 12 hours of their time to put an estimate together correctly for you to maybe say, I'm going to pay you or not. I got a problem with that personally. I think it's not right. I'm not a fan of that, because if you pay for an estimate, they're going to spend the time to do this correctly. What is correctly in my book? Correctly means that they are going to give you a line item estimate for your project. What is that? So let's say you're going to remodel your kitchen. I want to know what the budget is for every item in that kitchen.
I mean, you're talking fixtures, handles, even the smallest little thing. You want it all
laid out.
I want
to see it in there, because that way you know what you're getting. One of the biggest things that you see out there, and we're going to have Skip Bedell on here soon, so stay tuned for that. We're going to get him on the next few weeks. And we're going to talk about that from Catch a Contractor. But one of the biggest problems that I see out there where lawsuits happen, people go after contractors, is that they didn't get what they thought they were getting. And if somebody comes up and says, okay, I'm going to do your kitchen for $62,000, sign here, and you don't know what's going in there, they're now in control, and you have a contract, and you have no idea what that expectation is.
Like, yeah, I paid $62,000, so you think you're getting $62,000 worth of product, where the contractor may have gone cheap on buying certain things and pocketed the rest, I would think. I mean, yep. I'm just trying to think
absolutely
of how that would work.
Or even worse, they figured they give you such a low number that they can't give you what your discussions were. So this is your chance to have a double check. So if they give you a line item thing, I want to go down and say, okay, kitchen cabinetry is X. Okay, that kitchen cabinetry is $15,000. Cool. Countertops, that's another $6,000. Knobs and handles, that's another $400 or $500. Appliances, $8,000, because you got a cheap, inexpensive fridge and maybe you're reusing the range. I don't know what that is. But I want to see those go down and have at least line item budgets for each one of those, even if you haven't picked the stuff out.
Well, and I imagine that kind of protects you down the line too, just in case. And we all know, you just mentioned Catch a Contractor. They're not all good businessmen, or, you know, I'm not going to say bad people, but not necessarily good people.
There's bad people out there, just like any other trade, exactly. Any other profession out there. There's good ones and bad ones. And what you want to do is make sure that you've got that pricing dialed in, because if not, whew, this gets expensive. And now you're buying an attorney to go after somebody that probably can't afford to pay it anyway. Because a lot of times those fly-by-night contractors, they're already losing it because they don't know how to run their business.
Well, and I'm just thinking down the line, they can't necessarily go, oh, well, I couldn't get that thing that you wanted because it wasn't in the budget. You see verbatim that it was in the budget.
And now you can go through as you make selections and can base it off of that. You can go pick out your flooring.
$6,000 for cabinets.
Okay. Yeah. Let's say you had a $3,000 allowance for flooring in there, whatever it was. And I'm just going to say for the raw material, not talking labor, just for the materials. And I'm not worried about the labor being broken out as much. I want to see that it's in there, but I don't mind seeing a $25,000 round labor number. That's fine. I'm worried about the materials breakout. That's the biggest part of this. Because if they've got you figured out as a $125 a square foot for some tile that you're looking at, and the tile you're looking at is $10 a square foot, you have a problem.
Yeah, there's a big discrepancy there.
And you can figure that out. And so that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of times you'll get an estimate because you haven't gone through the design process already yet. So you're going to look to see if you can afford this project.
Yeah, you're ballparking it.
Yeah. But it's more than even ballparking it. It's really giving you an educated plan to follow. A ballpark is me walking in. But really, just for the people out there that have never been through this, a ballpark is when I walk in and go, yeah, you probably do this for 60, 70. It's kind of my ballpark. Versus now we're going to come up with an actual budget. And you can check that budget because you can go, oh, man, my appliances are going to be $2,000 or $3,000 more than that. Well, add it to the end of the list. It's $2,000 or $3,000 more. So these are some of those things that I really want to see people get itemized, real estimates where it's broken out. I mean, I want to see the faucets on there. I want to see every little detail of where that goes. And there's some contractors out there that just won't do it. And you know something? That's where those problems come up. And, you know, all the people I've worked with have done you know, as far as contractors that I've worked with have done those estimates where they're line item like that. Because otherwise, oh man, it just gets expensive.
Well, and the designer during the design phase can kind of help give you an idea of what these are going to cost, can't they?
That's what part of the design process is from the designer.
Before you even get to the general contractor.
Exactly. But I want them working
together,
together from the beginning, because I want them to be talking when they're creating that estimate. Because I want them to go, if it's a good designer, which it should be, I want them to go, man, you're going to need, I know what they want. They put the marble pricing in there. Don't put the cheap porcelain pricing in there. They're going to want the marble. Make sure the marble's in there. So if those two are working together hand in hand, they're going to drive that to be a realistic number. This is not some weird bait and switch game. You want to make sure that you've got this dialed in so it's correct.
And no surprises down the line.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get off budget. And that's how you see them create drama on HDTV shows.
They pit them against each other.
Well, they pit them against each other. And trust me, I have had an HDTV producer come up and tell me to make the other designer cry. And I threatened to walk off because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It happened.
It has nothing to do with the job.
Nope.
You're here to do a job.
And I'm not creating that kind of drama because I'm here to do something and it's not fair to them, especially when they were a new designer. Anyway, not to get off on that subject, but long story short, you want to have those numbers put together, because if not, you've got a heck of a mess going. And I want this to be smooth for you. The more information you can get on the front end, the better off you're going to have as a project. And again, working with that contractor, if you have to pay $250 for them to put an estimate together, good.
It's worth it.
And maybe if they're really nice, when they get that estimate and you sign a contract, many times they're going to take that off the end number anyway. So you didn't cost you anymore, but now you got the right information. And they actually spent the time to do it, because the contractors I know that do paid for estimates, they take that time and they actually go through. And that way you get the accurate numbers and it's not just some crazy hip shot because they don't know how serious you are. When we come back here, I'm going to hit so much new technology. I have something that'll fix that cell phone problem. If you don't get cell phone coverage very good in your house, we're going to fix it just as soon as Around the House returns.
If I could dream. Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good. They convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com. Websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code ERICG for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.